Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am Laura.
And I'm Marty.
And Marty and I are gathered here this evening to share with you some really important information about the importance of health testing in your new pet and how you should identify it and what it means and all that kind of stuff. But first, I have to tease Marty a little bit about her Duluth Trading Company overalls. Because, you know, she lives in Wisconsin and it's 45 below and the trees are exploding.
Pretty much. It's really cold. It is really cold. Like the snow squeaks when you walk on
I hate that. Oh,
pretty cold.
I've been a little whiny because it's been foggy and 30 here. So just saying.
Yeah, don't be whining. Don't be telling me that. When your face hurts like
an ice cream
headache. I
have a special hooded robe for when I go outside. I look like the Jedi.
Yes.
It's so cold.
Yeah. It gives you an ice cream headache just to walk outside to your car to breathe.
I lived it. I will never live it again. I pity all the souls in the cold tundra. But I love you, man. And it's so warm and toasty here, and you have the Duluth Trading Company outfit. So, bada bing, bada boom.
Got my black pair, got my navy blue pair, and I got my gray pair. So I am.
We can just rotate.
Yeah. Well, you got to wash them every now and then.
I mean, they stand up on their own because it's so cold, but you don't want them to stand up on their own for other reasons.
No. And I whelped the litter overnight. So trust me, we need the laundry done every now and then.
On your comforter. I heard about that. That's just awesome. That's spectacular.
Oh, in the waterbed.
Perfect. Wow, guys. I'm just saying, if you wanted a perfect start to your Wednesday, I got you.
Nobody can top these stories because they are true.
They're 100% true. Okay. So, hi, Marty. Talk to us.
Should we get serious now?
Yeah, we got to get serious. Talk to us about health testing. And health testing is not the same thing as, well, I took the girl dog to the vet and she's still, you know, breathing. Like, that's not the thing, right? So talk to us about this.
Right. So there's two general categories of health testing. There's phenotype and genotype. Mm-hmm. Genotype is the DNA testing. That's the cheek swab, the blood sample, the whatever cellular sample that you're born with your genetics. They're the same genetics for your entire lifetime. So as soon as the puppy is old enough to be weaned and not nursed for 30 minutes, you can get a cheek swab, send in the DNA test. And currently, there are about 350 DNA tests that we can do on individual dogs.
Crazy.
About 12 years ago, the dog genome became pretty well developed by Elaine Ostrander at the Broad Institute, and it was a real breakthrough in the ability to DNA test for different diseases and traits. So there's diseases, there's traits, there's parentage, and then there's breed-specific testing or breed identification testing. So there's four different kinds of DNA testing, and that's, I think, kind of pivotal to making sure that you understand what this is all about.
And I think it's about asking questions, right, Marty? Like,
oh, for sure.
You know, if someone you're buying a dog from says, well, I had her tested. Well, it's not the same as when you had, you know, Sheldon Cooper saying, my mother had me tested. It's not like that.
No. I mean, there's still other things that we can't test for, but we currently have 350 disorders and traits. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really good place to start because most dogs only have maybe three or four things that are significant. But because the DNA companies now can do entire panels for a fairly reasonable price, which is around $120.
Right.
Which is pretty crazy cheap when you think about
where we started off. Considering what we didn't know 30 years ago when I started.
even 10 years ago, things have changed considerably. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important. But the problem is a lot of these dogs will come back with a trait that's not significant either because it never showed up in your breed before mm-hmm. or because it's really not clinically significant. There's a test that tells us your dog's ALT, which is a liver enzyme, is going to be low. Well, that's really not a reason to be concerned about their health. It's just information for your vet to have so that if your dog always has an ALT of 12 and it should be, you know, around 80, and suddenly one day it goes from 12 to 200, that's a lot more significant than a dog that goes from 160 to 200. But that's really just not that big a deal when you're making a decision on who you're going to buy for a dog. So I think that that's the first place to look is what is the DNA test actually telling us? Mm-hmm. Is it applicable to my breed or my breeding program? And what do I do with that information? Is it going to be a deal breaker for me whether I purchase a dog from somebody or not? Mm-hmm. So I think that's important. I mean, there's a new Labrador test for cruciate ruptures, and it's the first complex test, so meaning that multiple genetic factors all play a role in whether this Labrador is going to have a risk of cruciate repair or cruciate damage. So I think if you're buying a dog that's going to be a hunting dog, a performance dog, a field trial, a hunt test, you know, your
active,
husband, your hunting
hiking,
dog,
yeah,
hiking, agility, whatever you want to do with the dog, that changes whether you buy the dog, it changes when you neuter them, it changes how you keep their weight, it changes a lot of things. But if we only breed Labradors that don't have the risk of cruciate rupture, then we're going to narrow our genes so far, even in Labradors, which are one of the top 10 breeds, to the point that we're actually going to create damage to the gene pool. So we have to really be cognizant and smart and strategic about how we use these tests. So if I were buying a hunting dog, I would look for that test. Mm-hmm. Or if I were picking between two puppies, either two puppies out of the litter, two puppies from different breeders, that would help me make a decision. But as a breeder, if you rely exclusively on that, you're going to back yourself into a corner. Mm-hmm. Important to know.
I think it is really important. And I think as buyers, you know, our job is to make you guys out there in listener land a more savvy buyer, right? So which
for
dog
sure.
are you going to choose? And so talk to us a little bit. There are different tests for purebred dogs, for crossbred dogs. There's right. all kinds of different tests available. When you go and talk to a breeder, what should the breeder provide you with? What are you looking for to know you're dealing with a responsible breeder and to give you some peace of mind that as much has been done as can possibly be done to help make sure that you're buying a healthy puppy?
Right. So you can buy a dog from parents that have been genotype tested, but you can also ask if they would genotype test the puppy. Now, it takes a couple of weeks to get that result back, but if they test the puppies when they're 3 or 4 weeks old, you would still have the opportunity to get those test results back before you purchase the puppy. So if that's really important to you, that's the conversation to have with the breeder from the get-go, from the very first time that you contacted them. Then we have the phenotype tests, which are a whole different category. And phenotype is an observation test. So that's an x-ray of the hips, the elbows, the spine, the shoulders, the trachea. It's listening to the heart. It's seeing a cardiologist if you have a breed that's at risk. It's seeing an ophthalmologist. Right. There's a whole array of phenotype tests, and those change over time. So you can't OFA a dog's hips with full OFA certification until they're 24 months old, not 23 months and 29 days. It literally has to be 24 months because that changes. And even at 24 months, there's still the possibility that things are going to deteriorate or decline after that, but it's not as likely. So again, those are really important things. And then there are other traits that we can observe. Fertility, temperament, things like seizures. There's one DNA test for seizures right now, and it's only in Bassets. And I think one other breed, maybe standard poodles. I can't remember exactly. It's Lafora's disease. So there's a lot of things we don't know, but you can look at how fertile was the female. If you're buying a dog that you want to breed from, then you want to buy a dog from a large size litter or a litter that got easily pregnant and that easily whelped and took good care of her puppies. Those are all things that are only observed and right now, and maybe never will we have a DNA test to tell us some of those things. So that's important. How do you know that they're giving you the accurate information? Well, the parents should be microchipped. The dog should be identified. The CHIC website and the OFA website will publish the results of those tests if the dog was microchipped at the time or before the test was done. You can't go back a month after you'd had the dog's hips x-rayed and said, oh, by the way, I'd like to have a microchip, so they'll publish it. Well, that's too late. That ship has sailed. So there's some nuances to this. And people are like, well, why is it such a big deal that there was a microchip? Well, newsflash, sometimes people cheat. So You want to make sure.
Come on.
I know. It's hard to imagine. But you could take your black lab to a veterinarian down the road who doesn't know who your dogs are and misrepresent who the dog was for the hip x-rays or for the eye exam or for the cardiac exam or whatever. So that microchip is really instrumental in making sure that we have accurate reporting of the DNA and of the phenotype tests. And some of these phenotype tests can be done by any veterinarian that has the skill set to do it. Some of them require specialists like cardiologists, mm-hmm. ophthalmologists. Mm-hmm. So there's certain tests that have to be done by certain qualifications of veterinarians. The BOAS testing is, right now there's under 100 veterinarians in the United States that can BOAS test dogs for brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome, for Frenchies, pugs, and bulldogs. So there's a lot of nuances to this. So it's not just as easy as saying, I want every test done for my dog before I buy it, because it's not economically feasible. It's not practically feasible. It's oftentimes not
applicable. Yeah.
Right. And so you have to decide. And then if you have a dog that shows up for a DNA test for something that has never been reported in the breed, you have to just throw that information out and ignore it. So you're not going to have a genetically perfect dog, but it may be a breed that's never, ever seen that health concern. So why is that even reported on the report? And that's what kind of makes veterinarians and breeders a little crazy, is trying to guide the public that doesn't fully understand some of these things to making good decisions.
Well, in making good decisions, I think one of the very best things, and I tell people that buy a dog for me or that are asking about buying a dog from anyone, the Canine Health Information Center, CHIC, CHIC, is a subsidiary, I guess, of the Orthopedic Foundation OFA. For Animals, OFA. Right. And you, the average owner out there in owner land, can have the registered name of the dog whose puppy you hope to acquire, and you can go there and you can look up the tests that are required for that breed or for that cross. You can go through all those tests. You can look up the individual dog. All of this is public information. And I think that amount of transparency is something I really want to have people think about. Because you're acquiring a companion to be with you for, 14 to 16 years? You want the very best chance that that companion is going to be with you for the full 14 to 16 years and be relatively healthy.
Right.
Dog breeders are not God, so nobody's making any guarantees about this. But you have a higher odds, right? You're stacking the deck in your favor when you're working with someone who's doing these tests to, as much as possible, ensure that the animals that they're breeding are free of genetically predisposed diseases that they could give to their puppies by inheritance.
Right. Absolutely. So you want to do your best, but you have to also understand the limitations. And nobody's required to do those tests.
Right.
They are recommendations by the breed club. So OFA doesn't make the decision. CHIC doesn't make the decision. If you're buying a golden retriever, it was your Golden Retriever Club that said, these are the diseases that we're concerned about. These are the tests that we are recommending for our breeders to do. Breeders are not required to do them. Breeders are not required to report the results if they're normal or abnormal. The other value of this is you can look at vertical pedigrees and horizontal pedigrees. Horizontal pedigrees are the siblings, the dogs in the same generation. Vertical pedigrees are parents, grandparents. So you can look at all those genetics, all those tests, and get a better idea. Because if you got a dog with excellent hips, but both parents had fair hips and both grandparents had fair hips, chances are you're going to end up with hip dysplasia showing up again in that line of dogs because they have not eliminated it from the gene pool in that small family. So it gets to be tricky. So this is where you want to speak to a veterinarian that has some understanding about it before you make a purchase, where you really want to understand these tests, understand the significance of it. And John Q. Public, and I don't mean to be demeaning, but a lot of them just don't understand, and they'll be really critical of things that breeders do or don't do. And I'm going to tell you that some of the DNA tests currently are not correct. Mm-hmm. Even though they are reported as being accurate, they are not necessarily correct. The International Partnership for Dogs is the WellDogNet website. Mm-hmm. They're based out of Canada and the European countries. That's the harmonization website that helps you understand DNA testing, helps you understand which labs, because the DNA labs in the United States are not regulated by any governmental organization. And I don't think we need more governmental insight on this. So I don't want to propose that that's a good idea, but I want people to know that it's not over-regulated. It's not regulated at all. So we have to be careful how we interpret the results, what we do with that information. And so some of the DNA tests that we know are wrong, I frankly will not do on my dogs, because I will not fund a lab that I know is running a test that doesn't have the accuracy that I have as an expectation as a breeder. But I don't want you to criticize me as a member of the public because you don't have a full recognition and understanding of what all that means. So that's where it gets to be tricky.
Well, that's why we're trying to help people understand, right? So the goal is to understand what is recommended for the breed or particular combination that you're looking at, and know where to go to find that information, if what the person tells you is a thing or not. Also to understand that a health check, right? I had my vet health check her, is not the same as health testing. And so those are the two pieces of information I want to be really sure get across. A health check, quote unquote, by the veterinarian is not health testing. Health testing is very specific tests for each specific breed based on a survey of the membership of the parent club, right? It's like really specific.
Right. And you don't want to buy a puppy from a breeder who hasn't seen a veterinarian. The breeder may be able to check if they have testicles. They may be able to check for an umbilical hernia, but they're not going to pick up a heart murmur. They're not going to pick up some other subtle things. So before you purchase a puppy, a veterinarian should have done an exam on that dog. Check the bite, check the eyes, check the ears, check for hernias, umbilical, inguinal, check for a normal vulva, check for testicles, listen to the heart, check the patellas to see if they luxate. There's a lot of things that a veterinarian, and it doesn't take a very long time to do these when you're good at this. I can go through a litter of puppies of 10 puppies, and without too much conversation with the breeder, I can get through 10 puppies in 10 minutes and do a really nice physical exam. But a lot of veterinarians don't know the things that breeders expect them to look for. So it's important that you have a health guarantee on the puppy, that you have 72 hours or 7 days or whatever it happens to be to take your puppy to your own veterinarian to verify their health. It's just like buying a used car. You don't buy a used car without a mechanic looking at it.
Well, and I think it's more than expecting that the breeders are going to do us dirty, right? It's before you get into the situation. I mean, forearmed is forewarned. What's that thing? Right. Something. The more knowledge you have, the better you as a consumer are prepared to talk intelligently, to have an understanding of what the breeder's doing, why they're doing it, what's important that they're doing, what is important that maybe one of the breeders that you're talking to didn't do. Right. Mm-hmm. And so trying to get that information when it feels like people are talking Greek to you is really hard, right? Like, I get that. And so our goal is to try and help you understand what's important, what's maybe not as important, and how you trust but verify.
Right. And even the purpose-bred dogs that may be a combination of breeds can still have health testing done. Mm-hmm. OFA still certifies Australian Labradoodles. They certify. When I looked through the list, I was doing a presentation last year. I looked through the list and there were breeds of dogs I'd never heard of, breeds of cats that they do the testing on. Mm-hmm. Cats have health testing too. We're not as advanced with DNA testing on cats as we are on dogs, but cats can have hip dysplasia, so can dogs. Cats can have heart disease, so can dogs. So all these things are really important that you as a consumer know, that you have honest conversations with your breeder. You do some educated research about this before you make a decision. You work with a breeder that you trust, and you just have to kind of work through this. And like I said, make sure you have a veterinarian on your end that you trust. My dad, many years ago, bought a puppy. He lived in Nebraska, bought a puppy in Michigan. He found out who the breeder used for their veterinary care, made an appointment across town before he ever left Michigan with that puppy to make sure he had an independent, unbiased opinion of that puppy's health before he made the 10-hour drive back home with the puppy. So there's things that you can do that can help They're not a guarantee because right. things show up later in life.
Seizures Mother don't Nature, start as they say, is a biatch.
She sure is. So, I mean, health conditions can show up at any age. And no matter how careful your breeder is, like you said earlier, breeders aren't God. We don't have the ability to control everything. All we can do is our very best to try and eliminate genetic and inherited disorders. And remember, genetic and inherited are different than congenital. Congenital, you're born with. Genetic, you inherit. So you can be born with something that doesn't show up for a while. So congenital and genetic are different. So just remember that those terms are different. Remember phenotype and genotype are different. There's so many nuances to this that it can take, I mean, you don't have to have a degree in genetics, but you do have to have some basic biology understanding to make sure you get what's going on.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
What's important as far as when I talk to people and what I think most buyers, they're not stupid, right? They just want to have a healthy pet. And so our job is to give them the tools to make sure that they can go in and have an informed conversation. That's why I suggest CHIC, OFA, and really doing the research as to what, if you happen to be purchasing a crossbred dog, okay, what are the tests that should happen on a Labrador and what are the tests that should happen on a poodle? Right.
Right. So you combine those and do those. Right. Yes.
Right. And can you speak to what we understand to be a myth of if you combine two different breeds, it makes the progeny healthier?
Right. There is a certain amount of hybrid vigor, but just because you breed two breeds together doesn't mean all the bad genes automatically fall out. Mm-hmm. If I had to rely only on dogs that were mixed breed dogs to make a living, I would not make a very good living because I will tell you, they get sick. So do purebred dogs. They all have genetic problems. You can't guarantee that either of them are going to be genetically perfect. And I ask this of everybody. There is no genetically perfect human. There is no genetically perfect dog. So just because you mixed two breeds together, and there's controversy about what that actually does to the genetic material, but all the bad genes do not fall out. I kind of look at life as being a giant jar of jelly beans, and you kind of cover your eyes and you reach into the jar and you pull out a handful of different colored jelly beans. That's kind of how genetics works. They don't always match and mix the exact way that we think they should. I have bred dogs for a long time. I bred together two corgis with beautiful heads, absolutely stunning heads. One of them had won the national in the United States and in Canada, bred to a beautiful female. They had the homeliest puppies you could possibly imagine. Now, homely isn't always important from a genetic perspective, but
well, I thought it was I bred good. Two dogs with OFA excellent hips, nothing but OFA excellent around them for as many generations as I could find. And I had a bitch who had to have a hip replacement because her hips were so bad. There's only so much that we can do. And there's only so much that science explains.
And some of it's environmental. There's a lot of other factors.
Yes.
So you have to understand that your breeder is not going to be able to guarantee everything. If the dog falls down a flight of stairs, it breaks something.
If you get it really fat and run it around on hardwood floors, probably its hips aren't going to come out as nice as they might have.
And you spay or neuter when they're too young. There's a lot of nuances to this. Right. So listen to your breeder, listen to your veterinarian, get some good advice, and just make good decisions, the best decisions that you can. And then if it doesn't go the way you want it to,
educated decisions.
Yeah, but you can't feel guilty about what happens because we don't have complete control. Nope. We are not able to control everything that happens with our health or the health of our dogs and cats. So we just have to accept the fact that things don't always go according to the exact plan that we have.
No, they do not. No, they do not. And I think it's important to recognize that and understand it while still being informed about how we, as I said, stack the deck a little bit in our favor.
For sure. For sure. So look at all the material you can, get the best information you can, buy the best dog you can afford. Cheap dog doesn't always come out to be the best arrangement. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Sometimes saving money on the purchase price of a dog. I have people that are like, well, I only paid $600 for this puppy. Yeah, that may not turn out to be the best.
$10,000 later in veterinary bills.
Yeah, might cost you a lot more than going to the right breeder at the right time and waiting. Be on a waiting list. Expect that you will be on a waiting list because puppies are not shelf stable.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, you can't just go, you know, I would like a puppy this week. You can't just go say, oh, well, this one's just been hanging out here waiting for you. Bloop, here you are. So you have to be thoughtful.
Yep. And doing your research. I mean, thoughtfulness is a big part of it, but education is a big piece of it. And that's what we're here. We're trying to give you a little bit of things that you can hang on your refrigerator to think about, right?
Right. And DNA tests changes every day, every week, every year. There's something new.
All
so
kinds
keep
of different
up.
Ones. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know that that is so much it. I just think as a buyer, when you go to buy a puppy, make sure that the person you're talking to has done some work and that they're willing to share the information with you and explain why they've done what they've done in a reasonable and sensible manner. And provide you the documentation to show you that what they say they did, they did. That's
exactly.
All. Very simple.
Exactly. And just arrange for that second veterinary visit as soon as you know you're getting the puppy.
Yeah.
Make the arrangements because you can't always get an appointment from the time you pick up the puppy when you make the phone call 72 hours later. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you think you've got a dog coming, call your veterinarian, a veterinarian you trust, or someone that can recommend a veterinarian that they trust if you don't have one. And make that appointment so that you can get in, get your stool sample checked, get the vaccines checked, get the puppy's health checked. Just do a really good job of that and have a written agreement with the person you buy the puppy from, a contract.
Yes, that right there. I was coming to that. A contract is really important. It doesn't matter where you get your dog. You want someone who's willing to be in your corner. I call it 24/7 tech support. 24/7, 365. 14. That's my job as a dog breeder. And that's what you should think the person you're acquiring a puppy from should be able to offer you. If you have a question, you should be able to call that person and say, hey, so about this, like whatever it is.
Right.
Whatever it is.
They know their lines. They know what conditions they have. They know what foods they respond well to. They know what vaccines they don't respond well to, what meds they need. There's a lot of things about working with a breeder that make it not just the predictability of the dog, but understanding where that dog came from and what makes them tick in the best way possible. Because these are people who have dedicated their last 30 or 40 years to that breed.
Well, and I mean, not all of us are in a position to have a dog from a shelter. Like a dog from a shelter is a great thing, but a dog from the shelter, you don't know its background. You don't know any of the stuff. And I promise you those shelter folks are not going to be there to answer your question at 11 o'clock at night. That's my job.
Right. But they can come into the country with unknown genetics, unknown health. They can be sent through a system where they're exposed to disorders, exposed to situations that aren't healthy for them emotionally. There's absolutely a place for shelter dogs, rescue dogs. I have done it. I've done it all. You've done it
Been
all.
There.
But the predictability of the purebred dog and the reliability of the breeder that will stand behind that dog is absolutely essential. It doesn't matter if you're getting a dog for the kids and you want a golden retriever because they're great with children, or you're 75 years old and you're going to get your last dog. And I've talked to multiple people this week that tell me that this is my last dog. It has to be the right size. It has to be the right personality. It has to have all the right things, or you're not in the next 15 years going to be able, when you're 90, to carry the St. Bernard up the stairs if it can't walk.
It was a really cute small puppy when you saw it, but now it's Marmaduke.
Exactly. So it weighs 147 pounds and you weigh 92. Yeah. It doesn't work real well.
Not going to work out. So, all right. Know what you need to know. know about the breed or the cross that you're talking about, know what the tests are, know what the breeder has and has not done, discuss it with the breeder, get a written contract, and take it to your veterinarian within 72 hours. It's a really important thing.
And I'm going to say a lot of veterinarians would be happy to help you select the next breed or the next breeder so that you get the right dog for you. If this is somebody that you've worked with for many years and they know you, your personality, what your needs are, what your expectations are, rely on that person. Pay an office visit. It's $100. Pay them $100 to help you make a good decision. Genetically, phenotypically, personality.
And if you're up in the air, remember our sponsor, Doggett. They have fantastic, really fantastic tools to help you decide what is the best fit for you. So that's my unauthorized plug for Doggett. It really is. If you are just in doubt and just want to know what would be the best breed for your family or the best dog for your family, Doggett is a fantastic opportunity. There's always a link in our show notes to their information. So,
well, Benjamin and Lynn Hart have a good book called The Perfect Puppy. Daniel Tortora wrote a book many years ago called The Right Dog for You. AKC has good resources. There's a lot of good information on individual breed websites. Some of the breeders are going to be pretty honest with you if you go meet them and they say, you know, I don't think you're really cut out for this breed. I think I would believe them because their expectation when they place a dog with you is it will be there for the next 16 years. And they don't want you to make a mistake, which then reflects on them, or they may take the dog back. So use all your resources to make the best decision that you possibly can. Don't make an impulse decision.
Yeah. I think bottom line, that's probably the bottom line that's most important. Just how much is that doggy in the window is not the answer to our question.
Not even a little.
All right, Marty. You stay warm up there in the frozen tundra of exploding tree country. And I will suffer through in the 30 degree fog. And that's just
all I don't want to hear about it.
That's all I can do. I know it's a balmy spring day at your house, but it's not so much here.
You got it.
All right, babe. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.